This morning we are talking from 2 Corinthians 13:14. Fantastic. I hope 2018 has been kind to you. I didn't tell you about my 2018. It's been too good. Maybe I might, at the risk of, you know, stirring up envy. I began the year with a week in residential as I start my MA at Westminster Theological Seminary, which is fantastic. Really excited about that. And it felt like family, and it was good to be away making new connections with guys and learning stuff as well, being challenged, which is also very helpful. And also while I'm on that line, you know, you just need to know that please pray for us, because we're trying to set up a hub in this area for folk that want to take their studies of the Bible more seriously and make a local hub here. And we have churches that have said they're willing to partner with us, including Kerith and including All Saints in Marlow. Isn't that fantastic? Honestly, I love it. I love it. It's been my dream that actually the churches in this area would work together to provide a training facility to help people really grow in faith, rather than everyone do their own little bit. But anyway, we'll see if that comes about. So yeah, that was the beginning of the year. This week I've been in Athens celebrating 25 years married to my lovely wife, Sadie. And she's been out. She's out with the kids now. But we had a fantastic time. And I will throw up a few pictures to say, oh, there's one. Look. Because obviously while I was out there, I was doing some shopping, you know, and I thought maybe we need a new look for River Church, you know, a new outfit. And I passed this shop full of all this gear for priests. I thought, we're all priests. We should all be wearing these robes. So I took a picture for you so you can go away and knit one. And no, seriously, I'd rather we clothed ourselves with the words that we've been saying this morning. Because these words are precious, guys. These words came alive to me when I was in the pool setting up the training center, saying goodbye to my first batch of students that we trained out there back in 2007. And I thought, what can I send these guys out with? They've had so little input. It feels like really premature to be sending them out now. What message can I send them out with? So I sent them out with this verse. Because I said, the one thing you need is to draw near to your God. He will make everything right. He is so wonderful. And the truth is, we all need to draw near to our wonderful God. And this verse really is packed full of life, packed full of promise, packed full of just glory. And, it, you know, obviously the Trinity is mentioned, the three persons of the Godhead. And this morning I wanted just to look at maybe helping us to unpack and really grab hold of some of the life that this verse offers us as we head into 2018. That sound okay?
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy. I'm going to move this because I'm turning around too many times. So, we start off with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in many ways, we all start off with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus, I guarantee you met the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we mean by that is we discovered that he actually treats us pretty well. In fact, he treats us much better than we dared hope. That's what grace means. Grace means being treated much better than we deserve. And when we encounter God, we encounter the love of God, when God wins our hearts and we say, yes, God, please, if you're there, please come into my life. That's what we encounter. That's what I encountered. It was overwhelming. We've just been singing about the reckless love of God, the overwhelming. I encountered that overwhelming love. The moment I asked God into my life, he came rushing in, and I was overwhelmed by his response to me. I wept blubbery, snotty tears every week in church because God's love kept washing over me. Fantastic. Anyone else relate to that, by the way? You know, come on. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be, and it should never end. Unfortunately, if we're not careful, it can lessen. And for me, it did. I need to tell you, because
That journey that begun with grace, begun with an understanding that God forgave me, as Kerry just read out, that his righteousness was given to me, that I was okay. Me and Jesus are okay. There's peace, man. You know, we were fine. God was fine with me. That was overwhelming. I knew that I didn't deserve it. That's why I cried. And then I started to read the Bible, and it came alive to me, and I loved it. And I was filled with joy at being forgiven, at having peace, and having a fresh purpose for life, making sense of all of my life was suddenly starting to make sense, and how I could be a better version of me. And so that was fantastic. I was gobbling up the Bible and reading it every day. I'd read it in the morning when I got up. I'd read it before going to bed at night. I'd write in prayers before going to bed at night. I'd be reading it in my lunchtime at work. Sometimes I'd be reading it under my desk at work. You know, it was just too good. Too good. And I read every day and every day. And then after a while, I thought, well, maybe I need to do a bit more. So maybe I'll start fasting as well. So I started to fast every week, just on a Thursday. And I thought, that's going to be good, you know, fasting. If my Bible reading, prayer and stuff like that has really got me this far, then maybe fasting would even push me into another level. And I was fasting. And I started to become, you know, actually quite a little bit proud of the fact that I would read my Bible every day and praying and fasting. You know, God's going to love that, isn't he? Do you know what God said to me? He said, Colin, your religion makes me sick. And I actually started to throw up. I actually started to vomit on my fast days. And I felt that God said to me, you know, Colin, you've missed that. You've lost the way, mate. This is about grace. You've got to get back to grace. So I changed all my passwords on my computer that day just to remind me that I've got to walk in grace. I need God's unearned favor. And if anybody knows me, I can be quite irritating. You didn't laugh quite so hard, but it's true. I can be quite irritating because people come to me and they say, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we should do this, we should do that. And I say, yeah, but really, we just need to embrace more grace. And I say, my prayer for you, my friend, you know, Kerry will tell you this, my prayer for her all the time is that she'll experience more grace. And for David, he'll experience more grace. For Ian, that he'll experience more grace. For Vicky, that she'll experience... My prayer for my team, my prayer for my friends, my prayer for those whom I love is simply that they will know the grace of God, because that is better than anything else they might do. God's little weakness is much greater than our greatest strength. And you see it all the time. All the time. Crazy things. So you can prophesy the birth of children, and God does it. That's amazing. So last time we gathered together, and I said that God was going to heal people, I got us to lay hands on us, you know, and someone was actually healed that day. Praise God. God's weakness is better than our strength. So we've got to grow in grace. And Peter, you know, he recognizes that sometimes we can go on this journey, and he implores us to grow in grace. At the end of his book, 2 Peter, he says, grow in grace. Oh, I should have moved on my slide, by the way. 2 Peter 3:18. You know, grace is outrageous. It's scandalous. It's not fair. And we live in a world where we're always demanding our rights. We've become so aware of what we're supposed to have, what rights are ours. We demand them now, left, right, and center. Honestly, guys, please don't be conformed to the world. Let's not be a people that demand our rights. I don't want to live under karma. If I was to get what I deserved, my life would be miserable. I live under grace. God's overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. I live under that, and he chooses to treat me better than I could ever hope. As it says in Ephesians, you know, he does so much more than ever we could ask or imagine. Let's push into God's grace in these days. Let's follow Peter's advice. Let's grow in grace. Let's not just start in grace, but let's grow in the grace and favor of God, because he loves you. And you can look at the person next to you and just know that God's love for them is vast. Vast. Just give the person a nudge next to you and say, hey, let's make that a resolution this year. Let's grow in the grace of God. is vast. It's not vast, it's vast. So how do we grow in grace? How do we grow in grace? I'll give you a couple of little hints. Number one, be humble. You know, it says in James chapter 4, it says, verse 5, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. If we want to grow in grace, that's one of the simple things we can do. Honestly, when we look at the people around us, just think well of them. Just choose to see the good things about them, not to dwell on the negative things about them. Honestly, now I'm going to sound a bit, you know, funny. That's what I've naturally done throughout my life, which is why I grew up thinking everyone was better than me. God's turned that around now. I don't think that anymore. I just think that everyone else is as good as me. But, you know, there's grace that flows on the back of humility. We reap what we sow, guys. I'm not into, as I say, getting what we deserve, but actually, grace allows us, humility allows more grace to flow into our lives. It's a simple thing. God loves it when we're gracious to one another. And we grieve the Holy Spirit, is the truth, when we're not. So let's make an effort to be gracious to our spouses this year, to our children this year, to our neighbours this year, to our grandchildren this year, to the strangers that we might meet. Let's make an effort to be gracious and humble. Another thing is to be thankful. Recognise God's grace in your life. I tell you, when you thank God for a bit of grace, he's more likely to do it again. You know, it's like if I give you something, if you gush over it, I'm more likely to think, oh, that worked. They love that gift. I'll look out for more of that. God's a relational God. He works that way. Oh, you really were blessed by that, were you? Well, I'll do it again then. It's not like he's saying, I won't do it for you, because he's always going to treat us better than we deserve. But when we say thank you, he says, oh, God, you get his attention. You really like that. Good. Well, here you have some more. There's an abundance where that came from. Never-ending amount of grace we can push into. And I love to do that. I love it. Just when God does stuff, you know, that you long for. You haven't even asked him for sometimes. You know, you're too busy sometimes. And you've got this meeting coming up and you didn't really want to go to it, but you said yes because you felt like you had to. And all of a sudden it gets cancelled. Grace. That's grace. As a leader, honestly, you need to know that's one of our realities. I hear big amens coming from the guys down here. You know, I experienced grace in Athens this week. And I thank God for it. We were walking up to the Acropolis. Yeah, that's a great phrase, isn't it? Just strolling up to the Acropolis as you do. 2,500 or 600 years of history. And as we got in, we got walking behind this guide who was speaking in English to a mixed kind of group around her. And she challenged us, are you following me or whatever? And I said, no, we just happened to arrive at the same time. She wanted to charge us €15 each to listen to her. And then we overheard her saying something about a strike the next day and that no trains were running. You see, what are the chances? What are the chances that we overheard someone talking in English about a strike that was going to happen the next day that our hotel knew nothing about? We would have strolled up to the train station, because I'm lastminute.col. We'd have strolled up to the train station with just enough time to have got there, and we'd have been found out that they weren't running. We would have missed the flight. God enabled us to hear the news, even when our hotel didn't know. And in fact, when we told the hotel concierge, he said, no, there's not. I'll check it for you. He said, oh, you're right, there is. Grace. We thank God for that grace. Recognize those moments, guys, that come and thank God, because he does it again and again the more we invite him. And here's the last one. Be gracious to other people. I've mentioned that already, because you reap what you sow. Paul was gracious to the Athenians when he walked into Athens and he looked around and saw those places. Some of the places we walked in, Paul walked in, which is just glorious. And I saw some of the buildings that Paul would have seen, which is glorious. And he looked around and saw all these idols and all these temples, and he was a bit kind of downhearted because they were living in darkness. And he said to them, guys, I see that you are very religious,
By the way, he was standing on the Areopagus, where I took this photograph from, just looking across at the Acropolis at night. How fantastic is that? So I stood in the very place that on Mars Hill where Paul says, Athenians, I see that you are very religious people. You really seek after the God. You even have a statue to an unknown God. And what you don't know, I want to preach to you now. And he talks to them about the resurrection. Grace to them. You know, I want us to be a group of churches, a group of people, a community of people that are full of grace. When people encounter River, they encounter grace. When the lost encounter us, they encounter grace, which is why I've come up with this kind of FIRE acronym, Fatherhood, Independence, Reconciliation, Empowerment, this wonderful way of encapsulating the good news, which I'm not going to go into now, otherwise I'll run out of time. But I'm preaching it in Maidenhead in a few weeks. I preached it in Slough last term. I'm going to preach it and hopefully in the other places. For me, it's just one way of filling ourselves up with wonderful news that we have in Christ, so that when people touch us, they touch grace. Amen? Okay, let's move on then. Otherwise, I'm going to get carried away with grace. We've got love to move on to. Oh, boy. Love. It is all about love. You know that, don't you? I haven't told you that for a while. Okay, I thought you might have forgotten. But it is all about love. The reason God made us is because he wanted children that would love him and love one another, that would be like him. And God is love. Simple as that. It's by our love for one another that the world will know that we're his disciples. Paul says, without love, we're nothing. That's a prophetic statement. The only thing that counts is faith expressed through love. I could go on and on and on, but basically I'd have to read the whole Bible to you, and not many of you are up for that, are you? Just hopefully checking around the room? No, not many of you are up for that. But it's fantastic to do. Honestly, it's fantastic to do. The more we know God, the more we're filled with love, the better we can be. Perfect love drives out all fear. And when we live in fear, we're not very nice people. If we're worried we're going to be late, if we're worried we're not going to achieve, if we're worried people are going to think badly of us, if we're worried about anything, we tend to react quite badly. We need to know the love of God that drives out all fear, that we can live in love. Because it's those who live in love, live in God, John tells us. 1 John 5, 4. Those who live in love, live in God. We've got to grow in this knowledge of love. Paul says, doesn't he? I pray that you'll grow in the height and the width and the length and the depth and that love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled up to the fullness of God. Something happens in us when we discover the love of God, when we encounter the love of God. We're attracted to it. We think, wow! And we want to become more like it, don't we? Well, I do. I do. He's amazing. He's amazing. This God is terrific. There aren't enough words. I wish I had bigger words, because you know, we just don't have big enough words to give him credit. We need a new way of... Paul invented words regularly. You know that, don't you? He used to put hyper on the front and other things on the end to make the words longer and more magnificent. Super abundant words about God's love for us. Because he found language was not very good either in explaining that the love of God for you stretches higher than the heavens are above the earth. That's amazing. If only we could grasp hold of it. Let's grasp hold of it in 2018. You know, Jesus himself says, doesn't he, in John 16:27, it's not that I'm going to pray for you, it's the Father himself who loves you. God loves you. It's not Jesus the nice one against God the angry one, the Father. It's actually God himself who loves us. And we've got to start to see that in every bit of scripture. We've got to start to see it in every bit of life. You know, and I love to do this. And that's why I've given myself to wrestling with scripture until I see the love of God on every page, which is why I developed that course I did last term in Streams, the Survey of the Bible, looking at the love of God from Genesis to Revelation. It's because I know that when we live in that story, we feel better about ourselves, we feel better about the world, we feel better about where we're going, we feel better about where we've come from, we feel better about God, we feel better about everything. And we had a fantastic time last term, and you can listen to some of the reviews online, and some of the people that spoke to me offline as well, you know, they really appreciated it. It's life-changing. To really see the love of God on every page. I was hoping to do it again this term, but so far too few people have signed up. So unless a few more people sign up, I won't be doing it. But that's okay, I'll do something else. But it's, you know, if you want to grow in the knowledge of your love, you could do worse than sign up on that course. And I'm not bigging myself up. I'm just saying we all need to grapple with Scripture and see God, the God who is love, on every page. Yeah. Thanks for moving that on. You know, it says in 1 John 4 that no one's seen God. But when we love one another, God's love is perfected among us. It's matured, it's completed among us. So when we come to know, it says you can't love God unless you love one another. It's impossible. Let's give ourselves to loving one another this year. Billy Kennedy brought a challenge to us last term, if you remember. He brought us a challenge saying the discipline of community. He challenged us to make community a discipline, not just something we do when we feel like it, but actually to let's push into community. Let's be deliberate about building friendships. Let's be deliberate about connecting with those maybe we don't know. Let's be deliberate about building new friendships, about blessing and nourishing our existing friendships. There are all kinds of ways we can do that. This is one. Wildfires is one. I'm going to send out an email in the next week or two. But, you know, this is a festival that we're running in May, 28th to 30th, and with our friends from 24/7, which was begun in Pioneer, with our friends from Fusion, which was begun in Pioneer. I still can't believe those things. Yeah, with Worship Central. Sorry. Yeah, thank you, Gary. Lots of streams that are flowing in the goodness of God and grace. And let's hang out with them. I think it's going to be wonderful. I've had some of my most formative times in Bible weeks, in times away as church. I got my call to lead church when I was away at a Christian conference. I first spoke in tongues when I was away at a Christian conference. You know, these are great opportunities for us. You don't have to come, but I just say to you, you should make that a priority. Put the date in your diary. Make sure you get there, because who knows what may happen when you arrive. We're always looking for breakthroughs. We all need to keep growing. This is a fantastic way. My daughter herself, you know, I said, Rach, why do you love these festivals? She said, well, I keep getting breakthrough when I go away. It's not that church isn't a great place to grow, but there are mountaintop experiences that can happen to us in these places where there are significant ministries that come through. And she had a breakthrough. She was broke. She had a spirit of panic or fear. She used to sometimes go into panic attacks, and that was broken off her at a conference. And since then, she's had just one or two, I think, in the last 4 years where it used to be more regular. Thank you, Jesus. You know, these things are a great opportunity for us, guys. I've said enough, but that's one way. There are lots of ways we could do this. Just ask someone around for dinner. Not always the people that you get on with and know the best. Maybe somebody you haven't seen for a while. Maybe someone you don't know. Just invite them around. Take them out for a coffee. Go for a walk. Go to the... Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Just hang out. It's one of the great ways of showing we love one another. The Journey are going away week after next, I think, on the Junction. Great, great. Marlo going away in a couple of months. Fantastic. This is another way, chance to go away. If you're part of us, if you're not part of a small group, join a small group. Discipline of community. Make it a priority 2018 to get stuck into friendships. God uses friendships to reveal his love to us. And if you are part of a small group, consider going away together for a weekend as a small group. Hang out. Love flows in that. Community flows in that. The last thing I just wanted to encourage us in was the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You know, this has been neglected in churches throughout many centuries as people have misunderstood the Holy Spirit, the last person of the Godhead. But in River, this is our DNA. We were birthed in the Spirit. As Al and the buddies sailed down the river, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they started prophesying and speaking in tongues. And we've been adventuring in the Holy Spirit ever since. But let's not just be charismatic by name. Let's not live on past glories, but actually let's push into friendship with the Holy Spirit, because that's what fellowship is. It's friendship. Let's live lives in 2018 expecting God to show up around the corner. I love this book, Dirty Glory. If you haven't read it yet, please get it and read it. Many of you I know have read it. If you've read it, maybe reread it, because it's just the stories that go on in there of living the adventurous life with God through prayer and seeing God do amazing things. And it's normal Christian life. It's not for leaders. It's not for special people. It's not for holy people. It's not for good people. It's just for you and me and everybody else. And I mean everybody else. Everyone who's willing. God shows no favorites. He loves to do this kind of stuff. Even money appearing in cabinets. If that's not enough to make you buy the book, I don't know what isn't. But it's a great story of money appearing.
And yeah, adventure with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible's quite clear. James, again, in 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God is lovely. He's so gentle. I love the fact that God is gentle. He won't force himself on us. He won't barge into our lives. But actually, when we say, hey, can we hang out, please, God? Will you be with me today? He loves it. You can't help but respond to that. It's like your best friend saying, should we go and do your favorite activity? God said, yeah, count me in. You know, some friends you phone up, you're wondering what they're going to say. God, you never have to worry about that. He's singing now. He wants us to dance. He will turn up. What are the ways we can increase our fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Well, in Romans chapter 8, there's a great few verses around 5 and 6. And it used to confuse the hell out of me in the early days because I was reading the early NIV translation. And it talked about a mind controlled by the Spirit or a mind controlled by the flesh. Actually, the Greek doesn't say that. What the Greek says, it says, have your mind set on the things of the Spirit. Don't have your mind set on the things of the flesh. Because the things of the Spirit bring life, but the things of the flesh bring death. Don't be guided by your belly or by your privates or whatever else. Yeah, don't be guided by the stuff that's going to bring instant gratification to your body. Actually, do the stuff, think about the stuff which you know pleases God. There's life in that. It's very basic kind of advice, but it's amazing. It's amazing, and we can all do this. It's really, really straightforward. There are many, many ways. You've already heard that, for me, learning about God's goodness in the Bible is one way. Worship. You know, we have fantastic worship. Andy and team, fantastic worship. I love the worship today. Some of us would have loved it. Some of us would have thought, when are they going to get on with the real thing? Let me tell you, worship is the real thing. Because what happens in worship is we're choosing to fill our minds with the goodness of God. The things we sang this morning, they were incredible. You're a good, good father. You cannot sing that about God. You're a good, good father and have thoughts of this angry, kind of despotic, kind of controlling God. No, he's a good, good father. All his promises are yes and amen. You can't sing that stuff and not feel good. Blows to us right in that moment when we worship. So I encourage you, worship whenever you can. I used to worship listening to Psalms in the car. And I remember once the verse came across, he looked at me with his forgiving eyes. And as he was singing about some encounter Jesus had with a prostitute, as he sang that, I encountered God. And I felt God's forgiveness. I had to pull over, tears streaming down my face, because I received the forgiveness of God in that moment of worship. Incredible transformation happens in worship. Honestly, we could do worse than worship the rest of eternity. We become all fantastic, fantastically transformed. There are other ways we can do that. We can free our minds from the things that don't bring joy. Free our minds from Facebook and Twitter and TV and radio and all the other cluttery stuff that just clogs up our minds with useless information. Give some time to God, to friendship. So when you travel, play some music, some worship music, play some Bible verses or something. Just fill your mind with something good. Feed your soul. If you're needing to hear God speak into past pains or present issues or future dreams, you could do worse than Book of Sozo and allow God to come and speak to you directly. You can do that on our website. Encounter God. But whatever you do, talk to the Father. Talk to God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Pray. That's what prayer is. It's simply talk. We dress it up with religious language, but it's not. It's just chatting to God. And you'd be surprised what happens when we do that. You know, God is calling us to prayer. This year, God is calling River to prayer. I love the fact that we started a prayer room in Marlow. We started a prayer room in the journey. Prayer is on our lips again. Thanks to this book, prayer is on our lips in a really big way. Let's pray, guys, and be amazed at what God can do. Two things you've got to do if you're going to pray. One is be watchful for the answers, because God's going to answer your prayers. You just got to be expectant, and because you may answer them in ways you're not expecting, you've got to have your eyes open. And then also be prepared to be the one that fulfills or becomes the answer to your prayers, because God may actually open up a way for you to do something. You know, before we left Athens, I said to Sage, you know, should we just pray? Say, we've had 25 glorious years. Let's just pray into the next
few years. So we prayed. And we, you know, when we pray, I always end up with saying, God, and it's all for the lost. It's all for those that don't yet know the joy that we have right now in this room. Come on. I want everybody to experience the joy that I have in God. Everybody to know how wonderful he is. I won't be satisfied until everybody can see that. So I said, pray, help us to raise up churches that really know your love, that really embrace your grace and really walk in friendship with you, that we may really bring you wherever we go, that people might encounter you. Help us, Sadie and Colin, to reach out to those that don't know you around us afresh, to break through with your love. You know what? Later on that day, our plane was overpacked. We got separated, and I was not very happy about that. And squished in the middle of two seats, you know, somebody on the side, and one person was quite big, and I wasn't very happy about that. Where's my thankfulness gone? Anyway, and, you know, a thought crossed my mind, well, maybe I'll have a conversation with someone, I don't know. I don't feel like it, to tell you honest. And then I sat down and studied for 2 hours. After that, I looked up and got chatting to the lady next to me and asked her name, and it was Anastasia. Anyone that knows Greek knows, right, now you've got my attention. It means resurrection. So I'm sitting next to resurrection all this time, and I've been quiet. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And so we get chatting, and she says to me, you know, she says, what do you do? And I said, oh, I lead a church. She said, not with those shoes, you don't. These shoes. She said, I can't believe you. I said, I saw those shoes. I thought, I wonder what the... She said, I never would have imagined you lead a church. That's why I wore these this morning. They're my good news shoes. How beautiful are the feet upon the mountains of him who brings good news, or she who brings good news. We have beautiful feet, guys. Look at your feet now. Tell them they're beautiful. Anyway, we then got chatting, and she said, I saw a piece on you. I wonder, now that explains it. And I said, you can have that piece too, you know. And she said, oh, well, my mother had a faith. My grandmother had a faith. I was with her when she died. She started telling me all these things about her life. She started to cry, deep tears, you know, and we chatted for about an hour. How can you, you know, I don't know. But every time I thought the conversation might end, she would start it again, which is the right way to do evangelism. It's not for us to start the conversation again, but allow the person to start it again. And she started it again and again. And in the end, I said, look, you know, can I pray for you now? And she said, yeah. So I prayed and just prayed for her that she would encounter God. I prayed for her that she would come to know this God who is love. I told her stories about the loving God that I'd encountered, you know, that given us kids, that helped me step out of IT into church work, my dream. Had been with me through so many things in life. And she started to cry at those stories. And when I prayed for her, she just kept on saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And her testimony was at the end, you need to know, the burden's been lifted from me today. Guys, this is what we're called to do, all of us. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. Would that have happened if we had prayed? I have no idea. All I know is when I pray those kind of prayers, God has a habit of opening doors. Yeah, we can laugh at that, Ian, you and me, because we know that's what happens. Prayer is a key. Let's give ourselves to prayer in this season, guys. Maybe you should take a moment now just to think about how you could fellowship with the Holy Spirit, whether it's Bible reading, whether it's worship, whether it's prayer, whether it's fasting, whether it's playing music on the way to work. What way could you do now? Make a change in your life today to give yourself to intimacy with your God, friendship with your God. Oh, Lord Jesus, your love is overwhelming. Your grace is outrageous. Your friendship is so sweet, it's better than wine. That's the truth. Oh, that every person, every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth would experience the grace that I've experienced, would know the love that we've all experienced here. Help us to grow in these things. Dear God, can I have the band back on stage, please? I just want to finish with us giving space for God to speak to us. Ooh, that was a bit nasty. Giving space for God to speak to us. There are three things to give ourselves to. Oh, there you go. to receive from our God and to give away. And they help us to know God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so to become more and more like him. The truth is, the more that we know them, the greater our joy will be. My deepest prayer, my best prayer for you is that you would know the grace of our Lord Jesus this morning. Because he's coming to you to treat you better than you deserve right now. You may think that you don't deserve God, and you're right, you don't. But he's coming to you with grace today for a fresh start, for a new day. Just be open to that and say, yeah, I've messed up, Jesus. Come in, come on. Come in. Thank you. Thank you for hanging out with all those outcasts and sinners so long ago to give me confidence. Actually, you're prepared to hang out with me. I invite you into my heart again. Or for the first time. Let's grow in grace, especially grace to those outside the church. Let the gospel fire ignite and set a fire in our hearts that can't be contained or controlled, but grace pours out whenever we start to talk about you, Lord Jesus. Let's grow in love, especially to those of the faith, especially to the household of God, especially to one another. Let's be disciplined about loving one another this year. Because in doing that, we make the love of God visible, the love of the invisible God visible, and we perfect it. The Bible says, I'm not making this up. Let's do that. And you guys do that pretty well in any case. I'm just encouraging you to do it more, to push on in this year. Because some of us need an encouragement to push on. It's like when we run a marathon. It's always great to hear the people on the sidelines cheering us on. Gives us extra energy. Come on, we can do this. And let's us fellowship with the Holy Spirit, especially through prayer, which is a key to every adventure that we're ever going to have in God. And they are many and varied and wonderful adventures for you. Will we please stand now and say the grace to one another? And as we do, I don't want just to say it. I want you to look at someone or look around as you say it, like they do in good Anglican churches. Because our Anglican brothers and sisters are lovely people. We can learn a lot from them. Let's declare this wonderful truth and bless one another with these words. And I mean that, because these words have power to release life. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all throughout this year and every year. Now, guys, if you feel, please, I'd love it if you would spend these last few minutes as the band leads us in worship, but just look around. Go and speak a word of grace over someone. Go and pray a blessing of grace or of love or of fellowship. Go and pray for someone. Go, you're all priests. Go and bless someone in the name of Jesus now and bring the life that you carry as a blessing to them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Andy.